What are you doing?
Giving you half my cookie.
Why?
Make you feel better. Jesus.
Scared of everything, but I'm making it punk. A small town. I only drink to get drunk. Don't go out much, cause there's too many bugs. And I'm way too obsessed with death to do any drugs. Six girls on Alphabet Road.
All right. Is this good? See, I bought great equipment and then I stopped doing this thing and now I'm questioning if it's fine. It's fine. I can hear myself. God. Okay. I really want to talk about one thing, if I want to be honest. It's this Trey Lance stuff that's going around. Trey Lance goes 10 of 14 with a touchdown and no interceptions against the vaunted Raiders defense. And he didn't play great. He's never really played consecutive weeks of football since senior year of high school. Obviously, he had the year at North Dakota State, but he hasn't played a great deal of football since about 2019. It's 2023. He's coming off another week two of last year, season ending injury into this game. Looks rusty, not good. You have someone like Aiden O'Connell on the other side who played well. You know, he's played a lot of football in his life. He's played more than Trey Lance. Is he a better prospect than Trey Lance? No, he's not. Trey Lance is a crazy athlete with every tool you wanted coming out of the draft. It's why they chose him over Mac Jones. What I don't understand is why the fan base is freaking out. Because the whole name of this game is really to find a quarterback, right? And they have one. I feel like, for the most part, everybody who watched Brock Purdy last year came to the realization of, like, this guy's modern-day Fran Tarkenton. It was quite impressive what he did week to week to week to week. Where I don't understand genuinely where this angst around the quarterback situation is. When you're talking about dealing the amount of assets they did for Lance, I guess it sucks, but at the end result, you have a quarterback right now who, going into week one of next year, say he plays well this year, going into next year, who's still going to be making around, I guess, $1.5 million, whatever the last pick in the draft would make. And you're in a good situation. I don't understand he's not better than Brock Purdy, and he won't be under Shanahan's system. They found the perfect Shanahan quarterback in Brock Purdy. He is pretty simple. He's not overly athletic, but he's got a little bit of, hey, Kyle, I'm going to do my own shit. Not every play, but he's got that. And that's what I think. There's this huge story that went around the time they drafted Trey Lance, that there was this game in Buffalo where the Niners were playing Josh Allen, and the sentiment was, if we need to win a Super Bowl, if the goal is for us to win a Super Bowl, I need one of those. I've always been of the thought of those quarterbacks, those five or six ones that are like, what the fuck? Those are impossible to come by. They literally are. How many busts are there a year? The Cardinals drafted Rosen in the first round when it was a top, I think, like 10 pick. Next year, they draft Murray with the first pick, and they both might not be that guy, that special of a guy. Obviously, Rosen's pretty much out of the NFL, and Murray's going through his struggles. Now, what? When you're in the mix and you're the NFC, right? You need to get into the playoffs for the most part. You need to get into the playoffs and then you hit a couple of throws. You have a Joe Flacco, you have a Nick Foles moment, and you win the NFC and you have a chance to win the Super Bowl, right? If you don't have one of those guys who you're chasing, you either do one of two things. You either ruin your franchise over and over and over and over again, i.e. Oakland, i.e. Cleveland, or, and whenever you have a sense of stability, you blow that up, or you be like the Ravens. You're like, we're going to build all around one guy. Not in the sense of we're going to, I'm not talking about Lamar Jackson. I'm talking about Trent Dilfer, and I'm talking about Joe Flacco. We build around him. He is a solid quarterback. You're seeing it with what Carr is going to be with the Saints. Carr's not going to out-sling Matt Patrick Mahomes 17 weeks in a row. But he's solid enough where he can beat him. And then in the moments where you put him in a position of like, hey, can this guy go win a divisional round game in the playoffs? Yeah, let's put him in the position. It's about getting there. It's why these teams who suck are not okay with just getting there. It's about being in the mix. And then one year, it just goes through. And for all the mishaps that Shanahan's had, they're in the fucking championship game every year. They're always there. And they're going to be there probably they're going to be there again. So what's the angst about their quarterback situation? That they ponied up 3 first-round draft picks in total, I believe, for Trey Lance. And now Trey Lance isn't good. But the end result of all of this is that you have a starting quarterback. A franchise quarterback, if you will. And you've got an awesome defense. You've got awesome skill position players. You're paying all of them. You're not a team that's not gonna pay Nick Bosa. They're talking about they're gonna pay him. So I don't really see what's the sky is falling. The sky's already fell with him. He's not gonna be on the 49ers winning games, I believe. Maybe it changes, but I think they overestimate. It's pretty clear. I've been watching football for like 20 years now. It's just clear that he is not a system fit with him, with Shanahan. Lance and Shanahan do not, they don't mend. They don't blend together. Maybe Washington Kyle Shanahan. But it's pretty clear Shanahan's like, I've got a system. It works. We got to stick by it. And is there maybe some stubbornness behind it? You're seeing it with stupid comparison, but in the Winning Time show, Paul Westhead, I believe. Went to the Portland Trailblazers, right? LaSalle High School, and they went to the Bulls. Yeah, you're seeing it in that show, and then that it's obviously not a 100% clean comparison, but he's got his system. And he's like, Irvin Magic Johnson doesn't fit in my system. If Irvin Magic Johnson doesn't fit in your system, Adrian Brody's like, bitch, then your system is broken. Can your system win it all is the question. Or does it max out at a certain level? Does the variance of Trey Lance, what he could be, is that the angst? What he could be. If Trey Lance got all the starts, if he's played 2.5 to 3 years of football. Cause that was my argument for him. It's just like, just fucking let this guy play. Now, are they too good to have a rookie quarterback? Is like the real question. An undeveloped rookie quarterback. Because you put Aiden O'Connell on the 49ers, they'd be fine. If you put Trey Lance on this 49ers team, I believe they would be pretty bad this year, but the reps he would get would lead him to be better than half of the league in a year. Now, the concerning thing about him when you watch him is that he's a little slow. He's a little slow. But he's still fast enough where you're watching like how Mahomes plays, right? Mahomes isn't the fastest guy in the world, but he just understands it all. He just sees it. I.e. 3rd and 19 against the fucking Titans last year in week 7. He's all banged up and bruised, runs for 20 because he just understands the angles of all of it. And he sees it. Trey Lance can't see it right now, but why would he? He's not. Even Josh Allen needed a year. Do I think Trey Lance should be on the 49ers? No. Would I love him to see him on that team and play out? Absolutely. But what's the more realistic thing is he has to go to a team where he can. It sounds crazy because I don't know if there's any teams out there where he can go and play 16 games. He needs reps, which is scary because the teams that are going to suck, there's two quarterbacks in the draft that people are going to sell their soul for, the USC quarterback and the other guy, Drake May. And I would try out both of them over Trey Lance. So it's a very sticky situation, if you will. Other teams that intrigue me. I don't understand Cleveland, if I'm going to be honest right now. I was looking at their roster the other day, and it was like, this team would have won the Super Bowl in 2006. But their quarterback is, all off the field issues aside, was bad last year. Was just really, really bad in the last 6 games. Deshaun Watson is incredible, but he was horrific. Did the off-the-field stuff have to play with that? I would assume fucking so. So he's a very odd player to break down because it's like not a great guy. But does the not a... The actions of a not that great of a guy are affecting him on the field. So, I don't know. That one's weird. That team just doesn't really make sense because their wide receivers are good. Their offensive line's good. They have Nick Chubb. Their defensive line's good. Their linebackers are good. and they're pretty solid on the back end. And it's like, the AFC is just the one of the, I think it's in one of the weirdest places. It's competitively fucking juiced. You've got Kansas City, Denver. These are all teams that are going to be like, that are fighting for it. Kansas City, Denver, Buffalo, New England, Los Angeles Chargers, Jets, Bills, Dolphins. That's eight, right? I think. What teams are out of it? You've got Houston's going to be out of it. And I believe, I just don't think Vegas is going to be competitive with McDaniels. I really don't think so. I don't think they really haven't done anything on defense. The only thing that I feel like that could soup up their defense is Tyree Wilson. Him opposite Max Crosby. But, like, is he going to play? Like, that's the weird thing about that team. So I would assume those are the those two. And then Tennessee, I guess, is the third team in the Cole Conference. That's bad. But they're still going to be competitive because Tannehill is going to start. Because Levis needs time. Malik Willis looks better. I thought he looked pretty good in the preseason game. But you're going to have, like, five teams be like, holy, like, if the Dolphins, Jets, Broncos, Jaguars, Colts are also probably out of it because I don't understand why they don't play Jonathan Taylor. He wants, like, Otto Porter money, Bertans money, like 3 for 45. And it's like, no, that's too much money. Like, you're going to have a lot of teams, at least four, be like, holy shit, we didn't make the playoffs and we brought Aaron Rodgers in? Like, that's pretty brutal. Now, the last topic I want to get to is this one. Do you play if you're Josh Jacobs? If you, like, I wouldn't for the salary, for the franchise tag. He was like genuinely like one of the top 17, 12, 15 players in the NFL last year. Again, I don't think the Raiders are going to be bad. Are going to be good. Why? Again, because of their defense. I used to, again, pretty vocal, been a Raiders fan for 25 years of my life. Will probably become one again when Josh McDaniels leaves. That guy just wipes the joy out of football for me. So much so that I have an actual rooting interest for the 49ers because my dad likes them. So I'm like, I'll follow them this year. I just have no interest following that Raiders team. If you're Jacobs and you see the team starts 4-0, 5-0, I would assume you'd want to come back. But if they start 0-4, 0-5, 0-6, and if you're Vegas, do you start shipping everybody out the door? Because the thing about McDaniels is, McDaniels and Ziegler are on Shanahan and Lynch deals. So they're 4, 5, 6 years down the road, they're still going to be secured. And Davis was kind of like, I was reading an interview of him last year. He's like, I knew in week 3 we fucked this up and this is going to take 4 or 5 years. And if you can get 2 or 3 first round picks for Max Crosby, you can get picks for Devontae Adams, you can get picks for Hunter Renfrow, you can get picks for Josh Jacobs. If this starts 0-4, is there a fire sale? I don't know. I would assume it all matters how competitive they are. Like, how good is Jimmy compared to Derek? Because it's a completely different situation. When you're talking about Derek Carr on the Saints, it's he is now part of, like, he's a part of an organization, right? There's pieces all around him. He doesn't have to be spectacular. He has to be basically like Ricky Rubio. Just distribute. Distribute the football. Let me hit Olave. Let me hit Thomas. It's different now for him. He's a part of it. Now, Jimmy had that role in San Francisco. He was a part of it. He was a part of the organization and a part of the system, right? Now, he is going into a team where we saw Derek Carr in 2021 be a part of a system which was very, very solid, right? Good running attack, good tight end, good, literally like Zay Jones, Hunter Renfro. He had to play hero ball a lot and save shit, and it still wasn't good enough. You have to be save our franchise good. That's what Josh McDaniels needed from Derek Carr. I need you to save my fucking franchise or you're out of here. And we're going to give your number to a rookie. Jimmy has to be save our franchise good. And I don't know. Because it's different when you're playing on this Raiders team. You don't win 16-8. You don't win 16-12. 20-17. You have to put up 28-42 points consistently every week to have a chance to win a game. I've been watching it for 20. I was the biggest Raiders fan alive. I don't care. I just. It's a different expectation. You can hear it in Carr's interviews in New Orleans. He understands that it's different. You can, I feel like one huge thing is when I could hear it in the sentiment of Carr, the idea of taking risks in New Orleans as a pass, as a thrower of the football. When he was in Vegas, if he had to take risks, and if those risks didn't work, he was fucked. Because just one turnover in Vegas, you're done. But the defense he had to play with most of the time, you're done. But in New Orleans, it's different. The idea of risks for him, it's different. You can take risks. Now, the good thing about Carr and the system they're playing in New Orleans is highly catered to what his best part of his game, his brain. The best part of Derek Carr's game, one, is his brain, in my opinion, brain, arm talent. Jimmy has to go in there and look godlike. This is the bad thing is, like, you know, I had people texting me like, hey, are you mad about this Aiden O'Connell guy? It's like, I genuinely want him to do well, but I feel bad for him, because what he does will get old quick. Because at first he's the savior, and then sometimes it's too much. You can't save it all. The burden is just way, way, way too much. And if your answer to, as an organization, to instability for years and years and years is to put all your trust into McDaniels, I don't know how far that gets you. If I'm them, I am fully dug in to go get Caleb Williams. Because that guy has a chance to do what the Raiders need. Someone to come in and save the franchise. Because you being good at quarterback, being Aiden O'Connell good at quarterback, it's not good enough. Because the system isn't there. Again, go listen to what Carr is saying in New Orleans. He's not bashing the Raiders. He doesn't talk about them genuinely. But the sentiment of the way he talks about his, kind of him being shocked about how this organization is run that he's now a part of, is pretty, like, it's pretty funny, because he's like, it's crazy that, like, nothing here, like, it's just about football. Like, that's all what he talks about. And, like, as a Derek Carr fan who's listened to a lot of his press conferences, it's pretty boring now. Because before it was, like, fucking chaotic. It's like, hey, Derek, did you... Another crazy thing happened to this franchise. I know Mark Davis isn't here to answer for it. Can you answer for it? And now it's like, what do you think about, like, the seam routes in your fucking... In the system. And you're like, Jesus. All right. We're back. I'm interested to watch this league this year, because I think it's an odd place where you have kind of one of the most competitive divisions I've ever seen, conferences, and then really, really, really shallow on the other end, in my opinion. And I think the talent is going to be, and I think the some stuff to watch is, like, what happens to Cooper Kupp? What happens to Aaron Donald? What happens to the Raiders players? Because you have a lot of talent on really, really bad teams. And I'm not saying the Rams. I think the Rams can be good. I don't understand the only thing about that scares me about LA is, like, is Stafford, like, shot? Is he done? Like, is his arm shot completely? It just, like, he's gone? Now you look in the NFC and you're like, does Carolina, that Brian Burns deal looks like, if you're him, if you're, like, even Max Crosby was talking, he's like, I just want to win. I do so much. I just want to win. And it's like, I was listening to another podcast and somebody was like, yeah, then you gotta like request a trade, because it's gonna be hard to win. Even if the Raiders are good, it's like, are you 10-9 and 10-7 is not good enough in a way. Because the way they had a 10-7 team, and a very good team, and you had continuity there, and that, to the owner, it's like, that's not worth it. We need a face. We need a savior. The teams I'm most excited to watch, I'm excited to watch New Orleans. I just love watching Patrick Mahomes. I'm kind of interested in Green Bay. I think Love can be good. And then the thought of watching Joe Burrow play football is just something that, gets you going on the inside. And we'll end with that. Okay. Be back in a jiff. Okay. See you later.